You have been listening to EcoJustice Radio, a project of SoCal 350. Executive producer, myself, Jack Eit. Co-host, Jessica Aldridge. Co-host, Carrie Kim. And engineer and original music by Blake Quake Beats. And until next time, remember, the power is yours.
KBOO Portland en el 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath en el 104.3 FM, K220HR Hood River en el 91.9 FM y transmitiendo en la página de KBOO.FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Camp KBOO is now in session. Sign up to support us during our summer membership drive now through June 29th. All you have to do is check out kboo.fm/give, text KBOO to 44321, or mail us at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, and support a summer of memories together.
Hi, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, and this is Life Stamps, stories from here and there. I'm Joseph.
I am Tyson.
Join us every other Thursday at 10 a.m. as we discuss exciting destinations around the world. They're not always from personal experience, but never without cultural awareness and a passion for travel. Welcome back to Life Stamps, Stories from Here and There. This is KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, and I've got my co-host Tyson. Tyson, how's it going?
It's going great, Joseph. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. You know, I've been really dreaming about, you know, that tropical vacation life, sitting on a beach, exploring an island. Do you have any ideas?
Haven't we all? Like my own private Idaho kind of thing, right?
Yeah,
you could just dream it, but then actually, you know, physically be there as opposed to just dreaming about it.
Yeah, except not Idaho, but yeah, totally.
right. Great film, like I said, but that's not what I'm talking about today. What I'm
going to
talk about.
Do you have any recommendations?
Well, if you're a very adventurous type and you're kind of like taking chances and stuff, Indonesia is great, but there are islands within Indonesia that are not as well set up for tourists because they don't have the draw like Jakarta and Bali do.
Okay.
And that island would be Sulawesi, Indonesia.
Okay, Sulawesi. So tell me about, like, what makes Sulawesi such a unique destination compared to like other Indonesian islands?
Well, for one, it's set up with a lot less buses to get around and stuff. You can rent cars there. But for the most part, getting around Sulawesi is more advised for like the backpacker, intrepid traveler to kind of rent a motorbike and scoot around the island and stuff. And then potentially, like you may have heard people that do this type of thing in Vietnam where they'll rent a motorbike from, say, Hanoi, and then they'll take that all the way to Ho Chi Minh. So, you know, from north to south or whatever. And Sulawesi is a similar kind of thing where I think you can buy a motorbike maybe in the capital and then move around the island and then sell it back off in the second biggest city in the north, which I think is called Mondo or Manado. But the actual capital is in the south, so you would probably be flying there. And the capital is called Makassar.
Okay, Makassar. How do you spell that?
M-A-K-A-S-S-A-R.
Okay.
And the capital is actually a pretty predominantly Muslim. As you know, Indonesia as a whole is fairly mixed religions and stuff, you know, different islands and then different cultures within different islands. And Sulawesi is actually not really dominantly Muslim, but the capital itself is dominantly Muslim. So
I see.
So there's definitely interesting things to see on that end and stuff. So when you arrive to the capital, you know, there's a Muslim mosque and stuff to check out and stuff within the capital. It's, but like I was saying, it's less set up for Western travelers in the forms of food and accommodations. So you're kind of more trying to like do local markets, do guest stays, home stays, and cook or long places. But it's kind of more just kind of, you know, talking to locals and exploring via motorbike and stuff. And it's an interesting shaped island. It kind of looks like an elephant in a way because it's got a big fat like south section, and then you have kind of like a central section that opens up to like a bay of water. So there's like within that bay of water there is the Togian Islands. So there's like a mini archipelago within that bay in the middle of the island. And then, you know, Sulawesi is also part of the bigger archipelago, which is Indonesia. So it's kind of interesting. And then when you go to the north, it's like a big long trunk of an elephant kind of. So it's got a very bizarre shape. So there's more like a south, a central, a north, and a northeast. And I'll cover all four sections of the island, but we're starting from the south in the capital.
I think some would say the island is shaped like a K also. Like a giant K.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, yeah, if you see it on the map, you can see that the northeast section stretches out much further than the length of the other part of the island. It's like a really long, like, peninsula on
like
the northeast.
Like an elephant trunk or something.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so it's kind of like a fat body with a long elephant trunk kind of extending out or a long arm or something. And so it's got a bizarre shape in that regard. What is recommended is August is kind of the best month to visit for cultural funerals in the Rantai Pao region.
You say cultural funerals?
Yeah, they do public funerals within this indigenous community in the central part of the island. And that
is the Toraja people?
Torajan people, yeah, and stuff. And Harvey's poking at me here. I think he's got a little rundown he wants to give us.
He's always got something to say.
So let's, you know, let's pass it off to Harvey here and see what he's poking me about again. Annoying. All right. But that's okay.
Let's hear it.
Sulawesi, an Indonesian island known for its unique culture, stunning beaches, coral reefs, and diverse wildlife, including the iconic Sulawesi macaques. Public funeral practices among the Togian people happens in the late summer every year on this island as well.
Thank you, Harvey, for that little bit of information that you said, but I think something was off there. Did he mispronounce the name of the people?
Yeah, it's the Torajan people. We want to clarify that. It's not the Togian people. The Togian is many islands within Sulawesi in a big bay lagoon when you look at the map of the island of Sulawesi. So there's the Togian Islands, and then there's the Torajan people.
It's just proof that, you know, AI or that robots don't know everything.
Harvey, you're not fired, but you are definitely on disciplinary action, my friend. You gotta clean up your facts.
Put him on a pit plan,
you know, like, and you know, good thing he's sleeping right now. He'd probably chime in with, you know, some of his snarks. But that's okay. But yeah, so that's the Torajan people, and that's one of the most interesting parts, and that's why they say to go there in August, because they do the public funerals within August. Mm-hmm. So if one is to travel to Sulawesi and that's their main draw, you have to go in August.
I see. Gotcha.
Essentially, if you want to see that cultural side of the island, which is very unique to most places in the world that don't really allow foreign visitors to really visually hang out and, you know, observe the public funeral practice. Now, to our listeners that are like, what's the big deal? Public funeral practice, people do parades and processions all over the world.
Mm-hmm. So what is the big deal?
These people now, and I'm going to dive into this a little deeper when we do our itinerary through the island, I get to the central section, but these people actually bring out their dead relatives from boxes that they keep preserved and kind of celebrate their bodies at the actual thing. So it's not just
what do they like do it so they just take them out of
they take them out of their casket boxes or whatever, and they're not
like people bring back, like a lot of people bring their dead relatives, or just the person
they don't. So to clarify, and I guess I'll just talk about it now, and then we'll talk about some other things in the central and move on to there. But to clarify, what this is, they do an embalming practice, and because of the monsoons within Indonesia and the water being so wet and so fertile that they don't want people to wash away.
Yeah.
They don't actually bury them until August.
Okay.
So they embalm dead relatives, and then so there's a whole spiritual belief behind this as well, but it's also kind of like started as a tradition of the environment where they'll embalm their people, but with the intention to not actually bury them till August. So August is kind of like them within a culture is their last chance to actually hang out with their relatives before they finally put them underground. So for example, somebody died in September, which would be the beginning of a wet rainy monsoon season. They're actually going to be having that relative around still in the house, embalmed in a box for potentially 11 months.
I see.
You know, because they can't really bury them underground if it's like, you know, just months and months
of monsoons. So these funerals are like group funerals for all the people who died.
Yeah, yeah, within the villages.
It's not and like
within the villages, one funeral per person. Within the villages of Torajan people that do do this practice.
And I see.
And then August will be the months where different villages are going to do their public funerals, you know, for different members of those villages. And, you know, that's where they'll be parading out essentially the corpses taken out from the boxes before there'll be an official burial after the funeral practice is over.
Gotcha.
Anyway, I'm going to get back to that because I still want to start us off here in Makassar, the capital in the south. And give you some other logistics about, you know, going there. And Yeah. So there are some buses. I didn't want to say there's no buses on the island, but it's definitely highly recommended to rent a motor scooter and motorbike.
Right.
And stuff so that you could return.
You're not relying on the buses.
To Manado, the second biggest city in the north on the elephant's trunk, if you will. And then, yeah, so then there's other places that you would go and stuff with that. There, Indonesia as a whole is only a 30-day visa, tourist visa.
Okay.
So, and I think you have to be out of the country for 6 months before you can renew one and do another 30-day visa. So it's kind of like if you're choosing Sulawesi. Mm-hmm. Maybe you would want to do 2 weeks there and then maybe 2 weeks in Bali or something. You know,
I see
how you maximize your time because it's not a very long tourist visa.
Yeah. But
obviously, sense. 30 days is plenty enough time for Sulawesi itself, you know, if you're scooting around and stuff. But some people may want to do the whole month just on this island alone.
Right.
And yeah, going back to the funerals, there are in the capital of Makassar, there are a lot of people that will sell you tours to a funeral. If you were there in August to Ronte Pau, which is like probably the main Torajan village, is called Ronte Pau.
Okay.
And it's recommended not to buy those tours from the tour companies when you're in Makassar because once you get closer to like actually traveling around the island in Ronte Pau, you should be meeting more people that are familiar with the village that they're going to take you to. So they have a bit more of a cultural etiquette. And then their money is actually given back to the actual communities themselves where the tour company is sort of privatized.
Okay. And less so informed. Wait till you get closer to the villages.
Yeah, that's been kind of the information that I was given from. A lot of this came from a travel blog this week called beyondthebucketlist.com. That's a fairly reputable, low carbon footprint travel blog called Beyond the Bucket List. So that's where I got a lot of the information about this. So yeah, so those are kind of some of the things, you know, you kind of go you fly into Makassar, you kind of get acclimated obviously to the jungle climate of you know, an Indonesian island. You'll have these regions to kind of pick out and the things you want to do. There's south, there's central, there's north, and there's northeast. And while you're in the south and you get acclimated in Makassar, obviously there's sites within the main city, the capital sites. There's beaches around from the capital, and then there's a little island you can actually ferry to from Makassar as well. When you get into the central region, it's mostly for the funerals. The mountains via your motorbike, so you can go explore and do some hiking and stuff. And then there's hut villages and there's some caves to explore in the central region. So this is kind of more for like the jungle intrepid traveler and the public funeral practices heading to the central region. Now, when you are going north, over through that lagoon area, that's kind of where you got the waterfalls, the Poso Lake, and the Togian Islands of the archipelago. And what was I reading about? Something that's unique. Oh, they have stingless jellyfish in that bay of water. So if you stay in one of the archipelago islands, when you go to the Togian Islands, you can actually swim with jellyfish.
Oh, and they won't sting you.
Yeah, there's some type of stingless jellyfish that exists in this bay.
I didn't know that was a that kind of jellyfish existed. Where are you staying? Like, so when you're traveling around the island, where are your accommodations? Are there guest houses? Are you camping? Like, what's that like?
Yeah, it's recommended mostly that you would check guest houses, find out beforehand before you book them that they have air conditioning. Obviously,
right? Because it's very, just so muggy.
Yeah, it's a very humid climate and everything. You know, any time of the year. But you know. Being said that most people are probably going to choose August just because that's like, why go to Sulawesi if you're not going to, you know, see something mind-blowing like a Torajan funeral.
Right.
But, you know, any time of year, really, you know, if there's just most of it's just for the unique nature and you don't want to fight with other tourists. That's also very appealing for the intrepid traveler and the adventurous traveler, you know, that's, you know, trying to really just get lost in their own little private Idaho, if you will.
Right. So check guest houses, make sure they have AC. And do these guest houses provide meals as well?
I think some do. I think some do, like in that like Indonesian villa type sense or whatever, where they're actually like bringing in food via like a truck or like a motorbike or something with like a chef on hand or whatever. It says there's not a lot of like Indonesian food that really appeals to Westerners. There's but the safe bet, you can always find chicken and rice. Mm-hmm. But there may be a lot of like really unusual things to the Western palate.
You just gotta gotta be adventurous.
Yeah. So it may be one of those things where you get the Makassar and you kind of start learning and seeing the food or whatever, you know, and maybe you just get a little more adventurous with your eating habits as you as you spend time there or whatever. You know, obviously chicken satay is very popular, you know, skewers, and I think there's other types of satay. When you're near the water, they're probably doing fish and shrimp and stuff on skewers as well. You know,
is coconut shrimp a popular thing to have in Sulawesi, like Sulawesi shrimp?
Quite possibly. I was kind of guesstimating there, you know, they may be mostly just fish that they'll do on skewers and stuff, but it's possible that there's a type of Indonesian shrimp, you know, these waters and
so
stuff.
Yeah, you talked a lot about like different places to go through, different things you can see. What about like wildlife, you know? Do you know what kind of wildlife?
Well, that's where Harvey had talked about the Sulawesi macaques.
The macaques, right?
Yeah, so when you're finishing up the holiday and you're in the Elephant's Trunk, which is the northeast region, and then you can kind of make Manado, the second biggest city up there, your base, I think, where you would probably drop off the bike, and then you may want to just do some shuttle bus tours from there or whatever, because you'd already explored the whole island, for example. They've got jungles outside on there's a national park where you can see, like, you know, the Sulawesi macaques and other animals that are preserved in the national park up there in the northeastern trunk. Okay. And then there's also a volcano up there that people like to hike around and see, called the Lokon volcano, up in the northeast part of like the Elephant's Trunk up there. So
this an active volcano?
I think so.
Is it like something you can like look inside and like, what kind of volcano is it?
I'm not going to say it's like a massive diameter. I don't think it comes. I think it's a small one, right? So I think it's a small. When we were talking about the Azores, and I was talking how there was like mini fissure lines, like, you know, for the volcanic tube line, you know, like here St. Helens is massive, right? It made a massive hole because it was such. It was like a really big, long underground passage of volcanic activity that eventually combusted. I think this Vulcan say the name again one more time, Lokon, volcano Lokon in the northeast trunk, I think comes from a smaller fault line, so it's not like a massive hole for the cauldron. So I think it's kind of small, a whole cauldron, but it's a very tall, like, mountain.
I see.
And stuff, and it still steams and everything and things like this. But it's not, like, super problematic where it's just going to do a massive blast and take out half the island.
Totally. Right. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, baby volcano that's just visually, you know, things. But I don't think it's like you would do a whole half day hiking around the top of the cauldron, for example, because I don't think it actually stems from that big of a fault line. You know, it's a little more like within Indonesia, I think these volcanic islands that have kind of formed are all kind of miniaturized from like a ginormous volcano.
Totally. So, but it's something that's recommended to hike up. Like, it's a nice hike to do.
Oh, yeah. And I think there's like good jungle hiking and stuff around there. There's certain like little waterfalls that are coming straight off of geothermal activity and stuff. You know, I think there are hot springs to be found littered throughout the island because of the volcanic activity as well. But I didn't really specifically focus on that main point. I was kind of just trying to get a run around of like just the, because this is just one island within Indonesia that's got just so much of its own stuff on its own. So,
right. Yeah.
So I was that makes sense. just trying to focus on everything.
And then you mentioned like diving and stuff, like swimming with the jellyfish. Is it possible to go scuba diving?
Yes. So let me take you to that part of I'm going to get back to you there. I'm going to stick to my itinerary where I'm starting you. We're starting in the south. We're in Makassar. Mm-hmm. While you're in there, they recommend to do seaside strolls and check out the Lasari Beach, which is part of the city. Mm-hmm. And then Palua, which I think is Indonesian word for island. Palua Samalona is a little island a few miles away from Lasari Beach, and you can ferry there.
Okay.
For city life, you can check out bustling markets on Somba Opu, which is just like a big, like, you know, market street within Makassar. And there they're selling gold, silver, pearls, silk, wood. This has been like a very trading port kind of part city for the island for a long time. They've always been doing like gold, silver, pearls, silk and wood, and they trade those things at the market. There are actually Chinese temples within the city, so China had some influence within Sulawesi at some point. And there are mosques to check out, like I mentioned. The one that's recommended is the 99 Domes Mosque. Mm-hmm. So if you can imagine a mosque with like 99 little domes, maybe like a Smurf Village kind of mosque or whatever, it's quite good. And then that Chinese temple, I can't read my own handwriting. I think it's called the Henshi Kiam Chinese temple.
Okay.
And then there's also just going to give you a couple more points about the capital. There's an indoor theme park that's called Trans Studio. So it's kind of like a, you know, indoor theme roller coaster Disneyland kind of thing. That's something for, you know, Indonesian tourists, you know, take their kids and stuff. And there's also like a waterfall park within the city park called Batamurang. And there's also a butterfly preserve. So there's like a butterfly preserve with a waterfall as part of a city park. And here they do recommend eating Indonesian prawns and steamed crabs and barbecue fish because they're really prevalent on, like, you know, the seafood industry and stuff. With
there it is, that Sulawesi shrimp.
Yeah.
I was asking about.
Yeah. Jumbo prawns and crab and fish, pretty much. You know, you should be eating good seafood when you're in Makassar. Mm-hmm. So that's just starting with the south, you know, that's your acclimation and stuff. And then, you know, the recommendation there from there is that you would get your bike and then you would kind of head to the tour, to the central region to, you know, do your thing with the funerals and stuff. So, yeah.
I see. Cool. That's your time in Makassar.
Yeah, it's pretty much your time in Makassar. You're the, like, various activities you could choose, just like, you know, around the city and stuff. You know, it's not really recommending. It doesn't seem like it's trying to say that you need more than a couple of nights within Makassar. It's not a huge city, but it is the capital of this island.
Right. Where the activity is going to be.
Yeah, and the main airport to fly into and stuff. So
totally. Okay, and then so then you make your way up north and then go through, there's like that bay area.
Well, the bay area is going to be the north. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to the central, which is more the central area, which
where
is
where the Torajan live.
Yeah, where the Torajan live, going back to, you know, like I said, the village, and I forgot the name already. Rontepau. Is more or less the main village, but there's other scattered Torajan villages and stuff for the funeral. So this is so I said August, but that's because for sure there's going to be Torajan funerals in August. But they say from July through September, you could technically maybe still see a Torajan funeral and stuff while going through this region and stuff. And then it says, what, every 3 years, bodies are unearthed, dusted off, and presented back to their loved ones in August. So actually, I was wrong. They're not all just embalmed and then buried within August. Some of them are actually unearthed.
Unearthed. Interesting.
And brought back, because there is this Torrijon belief of the purgatory lasting much longer than we think about it in Western spiritual terms.
Interesting. Okay, so that every 3 years, that's so interesting. They re-embalm the bodies.
Yeah, and, you know, bring some of them back and stuff. Mm-hmm. So basically, my notes have it where for the Torrijon people, true death doesn't occur right away. It's much later than in most cultures. So they do really believe in this purgatory aspect of the dead and with their loved ones and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not cultural appropriation, apparently. It's viewed as an honor to have crowds in attendance to these funerals.
I see.
But be respectful, keep your distance, and ask for permission, obviously, before taking photos or selfies.
Right.
You know, I would never take a selfie next to somebody's dead loved one.
Right. Would never want to do that.
Yeah.
But just be respectful in general is what it sounds like.
Yeah. And clothing and et cetera, you know, like I think maybe some people once thought it was a cool idea to kind of come there in weird costumes.
Oh,
don't really represent a funeral. Like, essentially, I think when I'm given the tip about clothing, I think it's more or less saying, like, talk to your guide when you choose a local guide who's familiar with the village that you're going to, and they should be able to tell you about some local clothing that you should be acquiring, you know, so you fit in with the community as you're an observer of their funeral.
Sounds like basically just do your research with that.
Yeah. And this is very important. This is the most important thing before attending a Torrijon funeral. You cannot show up empty-handed. You must bring a gift for the family and only hire, like I said, a tour guide that knows this. So that's like the biggest thing that they say they want you to weed out is you need a choose a guide who is familiar with the village you're going to, or is, you know, like something of that nature, so they'll be able to help guide you to purchasing a proper gift to bring to that family as an honor, you know, and showing respect for the funeral as it happens and stuff.
So, totally. Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty wild because this is like, I think the only place in the world I know where they actually like
Very unique thing.
Keep their dead around for much longer periods.
Very unique thing specifically to that, like, people on that island. I think that I find that really fascinating. It's not like Indonesian culture in general. It's specifically like the Torrijon people on that island.
Yeah. Let me do station ID real quick. You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland. You're on Life Stamps, Stories from Here and There. I'm Tyson. This is Joseph. Today we're talking about Sulawesi Island in Indonesia for the intrepid traveler and potentially for avoiding other tourists. And we had just covered the capital in the south of Makassar, and then we moved to the central region talking about the funeral practices of the Torrijon people. And now we're moving on to the north section of the Togian Islands, which is basically covers like a mini archipelago within the giant archipelago of Indonesia. So yeah, let's go into the northeast.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so going from the Torrijon region, and then you're going northeast to this little archipelago.
Yeah.
And
so
then is that what's that archipelago called again?
The Togian Islands.
The Togian Islands. Okay.
The Togian Islands within Sulawesi of Indonesia. Yes.
I see. Okay.
And they say you want to make your way to a town called Ampana. And this is supposedly the ferry gateway to the Togians and the little islands within the bay. So essentially, I think it's when you go to the northeast, you get to Ampana, and then I think there's ferries that'll take you to individual little islands within Togian islands. You could probably island hop a little bit in there. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. These islands don't have Wi-Fi.
Okay.
So when you're choosing guest houses within the Togian Islands, if you're just going to go to one or multiple or whatever, you have mm-hmm. to, they say you have to kind of make arrangements beforehand with the guest house. So when the ferry comes into the tiny island, then they're right there to pick you up from that little boat and then take you to the guest house on the little island. And then you just kind of do your thing, your scuba activities and different stuff in the big bay of water where these little islands are. Mm-hmm. So, but you have to make the arrangements beforehand, obviously.
Okay. You so you have to plan a little bit. Don't yeah. rely on your Wi-Fi. It's, you're not going to get service. So just have to do it the old fashioned way.
Yeah, and the other thing is back to the motorbike thing. I'm not sure if some of these ferry systems allow you to take the bike on the ferry. Okay. Because if that's the case, then obviously, you know, if the bike is good, you ferry over mm-hmm. to the little island and you've already, you know, mapped out where that guest house is on the tiny little island. You could probably just ride your bike to get there. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing the pickup service where they pick you up from the boat, from the tiny little island to take you to the guest house, then you have to make those arrangements prior because you're not going to be able to call them or anything after you get off the boat. In this case, all these accommodations, like you were mentioning, the villa thing, are all inclusive because they're very remote, little humble bungalows and hut type of guest houses within like the Togian Islands and stuff. So all the food will be provided and all that stuff, you know. But when you book this guest house, you just kind of have to be like, all right, I'm taking the 2 o'clock ferry that arrives on your island at, you know, 2:50 type thing, whatever.
Totally. Yeah.
Okay. You have no way of contacting them.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. So on that part of your trip, just make sure that you're very planned out in your approach and you can't rely on internet. You have to make sure that you, you plan out the ferry routes and the stays and everything like that ahead of time.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much that. Here's the other thing. So there's a few islands to choose from. Then I'll just give you a quick rundown. Umauma Island, the little one, is recommended for diving.
Okay.
Like deep diving, because it's quite deep in parts of the bay and stuff. And I think they just have the best access to the deeper waters within this like bay. The Malenje Island is best for coral and snorkeling. So it's the more shallow stuff and clear waters. Jellyfish Lake, I had mentioned before, is the lake with the stingless jellyfish, so you can swim with the jellyfish. Okay. And Kadidiri, the Kadidiri little island, is the best island for the beach, time, and just, you know, just general relaxing and enjoying your time on the beach and stuff. So you kind of pick those little islands depending on your thing. Then you get off the island via your guest house. They'll take you back to the boat, depending on the ferry times, that takes you back to Ampana. And like I said, I don't know if you just kind of leave the motorbike or if you can take the motorbike to the little island. That part of it I didn't get the information about, but regardless, you'll ferry back and then, you know, essentially maybe buy another motorbike or reclaim your old one and then start heading northeast to the trunk of the island.
Cool.
And so make that's your way sort of up like to Manado.
Ampana, so that is kind of in the northeast, so you have to backtrack a little bit, go west, and then go up to that big trunk that then goes northeast.
Right, because they seem to only have one ferry town, and that's Ampana. It doesn't seem like the Togian Islands are situated where they have another like ferry town that's up in the northeast. So it's not like you're going to go to the little island, then you're going to ferry up to Manado or something like that. It seems like
so you're going to like travel in this C shape, where it's like you're starting at the bottom of the sea and then going up to that northeast trunk.
Sure. I mean, visually, if that makes sense. I mean, yeah. I kind of see you go from south to central, then you're going to go east, and then you're going to go back west to go back up northeast. So, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So then is where you're making your way up to Manado?
Yeah, this is where you'll be making your way up to Manado. And this is like the more laid-back city. It doesn't have quite as much hustle and bustle as Makassar does in the south. on the north coast, but there are like waterfalls, a lake, and small mountain nearby for hiking. So there's a lot of Manado makes itself as a pretty good base camp for the northeast corridor and stuff. And they do have a small airport, so you know, if you were exploring more of Indonesia or whatever and you're trying to get back to a major airport like Jakarta or Java or something, you can get flights from Manado. You don't have to go all the way back to Makassar to catch your flight out, so you can kind of come in one spot and then leave from the other.
Right.
And then, yeah, you can, I think you can kind of retire the bike, because I think the shuttle transportation and the bus stuff for like day trips is quite good from Manado. So you might not, or you may want to keep the bike just to still continue to self-explore. But like I was saying, there are waterfalls, some lakes and small mountains nearby for hiking. There is that volcano that I had mentioned earlier, you know, I already forgot the name of it. Say it one more time, just so our listeners are familiar. The Lokone. The Lokone, right, the Lokone volcano in the northeast of Sulawesi. And then with the jungle, they have these like jungle communities and stuff, you know, that kind of catch and eat everything that they do within the jungle of the northeast. And they're the Tomahan is a like a jungle community, not the same as the Torajan that do the public funerals, but the Tomahan are just like jungle community indigenous people up there.
I see.
That are close to the volcano and like the thermal hikes and stuff around there, so they kind of live off the land. And then that national park with the macaques that Harvey was so happy to talk about is called Tangkoko National Park in the northeast. And it's also not just the macaques, but it's got a lot of birds and other things like spectral tarsiers, couscous, hornbills, and the black macaques, of course. So I think it's like that national park should be a lot of variety of tropical birds and various primates and other things that you should see within the that national park. And then those are kind of some of the activities and day trips you would do outside of Manado. So I think you could give yourself on the tail end, because this stuff should be relatively close as like day trips from Manado, maybe 4 or 5 nights in Manado just to kind of do some of that stuff up there as well.
I see.
So, cool. But it, for the most part, it seems like you can kind of do a lot on the island in about a 2-week itinerary.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, that's pretty much all I got. Are you ready to move on to trivia and comments?
Yeah, let's do it. Well, thank you for taking me through that itinerary. I can already imagine my trip.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, but it definitely takes planning, because it's not just like, you know, oh, I'll just find the bus when I get there kind of situation.
Right.
This is and you're not probably going to have a lot of other tourists to help you out, because a lot of other tourists don't go to Sulawesi.
Totally.
So that's what all makes it unique.
Yeah, let's do those trivia and comments.
Yep. Harvey, take us away.
Okay, now let's move on to trivia and comments. Trivia time. Trivia time, hip hip hooray. Listener comments as well, handled the life stamps way. Today and every day.
All right, thank you, Harvey, as always, for that lovely segue into the trivia section. So, Tyson, what trivia are you going to trip me up with today?
Well, I'm going to ask you easy questions. I'm going to assume you're going to get the answers to them, because you always listen so wonderfully when, you know, I give you information. So I know you are just like a safe. I can say something, put information in there, and you're like, oh, I got it. And then you just ace trivia. So
you're not going to keep it secrets.
You're not going to let me down, and you're going to ace this trivia test.
All right.
My first question to you will be, what are the best types of accommodation options when visiting Sulawesi?
So those would be guest houses that you'll find in different areas. And make sure to find ones that have AC. And sometimes they have meal options as well.
Right, right. If it's got meal options, they call that more of like a homestay. I think as well, or you could stay with local people and stuff like that. So you're right. So, cool. you were listening there. What is the most important things for attending a Torrijon funeral? What is one of the most important things to do?
One of the most important things to do is, there are a few things that I can remember. One of them is don't wear anything funny. Make sure you talk to your guide about what to wear.
Yeah.
Don't take selfies.
That's true.
With the locals. And basically just like talk to your guide about what's respectful.
Yeah, I think...
Are you looking for something specific?
I am. I'm looking for the main thing here, Joseph, and you did not say it.
The main thing to keep in mind when going to it. This is for the tourist, like for the traveler to keep in mind.
Yeah.
Don't book your tours like in like Makassar. Wait till you get closer to the village.
All these things you told me are right, but the most important thing is you got to bring a gift.
You got to bring a gift. That's right.
So okay. I'm not giving you a point there, Joseph. You're one for one.
I was getting to that. Whatever. Okay, next one.
No. You were stumbling. You were stumbling. And it was painful. I couldn't watch it. I couldn't watch you stumble any longer.
You couldn't watch me stumble.
This is an easy one. Because of infrastructure, what is the best way to travel Sulawesi?
Rent a bike, a motorbike.
That is very true. And yep, that's what you'll do.
There are buses, but maybe not the most reliable way to get around.
True. Mm-hmm. True or false? Sulawesi is mostly Muslim.
I'm going to say true.
False.
Oh, really?
It's mostly only Muslim in the capital of Makassar. Oh. And yeah, it's fairly Muslim in the second biggest city of Manado in the north. But, you know, for the most part, the majority of the island is kind of indigenous people and indigenous communities and stuff. So,
yeah. I see. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah.
We didn't talk about this. We'll try so I don't expect you to get it, even if you cheat. Makassar was once occupied by which colonizing European country?
I'm going to say the Dutch, the Netherlands.
How the hell do you know that?
Because the Dutch colonized Indonesia.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's like common knowledge, right?
It's common knowledge for a guy like Joseph who, you know, knows his colonizers.
I guess so. Well,
I had no idea.
When you go to like Amsterdam, they're supposed to have like decent Indonesian food.
Oh, I had no idea about that either. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a lot of people migrated into the Netherlands and stuff from Indonesia.
Like, you know, yeah, the importing the culture of the people you colonized, I guess.
That makes me wonder if Portugal had ever colonized Nepal, because when I was in Lisbon here in January, there was just like phenomenal Nepali food within the capital. Yeah, in Lisbon. It's possible. I was like kind of surprised, wondering why there was so much like, you know, India and Nepali food, like, you know, in lots of places that I was at in the Alfama district of Lisbon and stuff. So
yeah. Yeah. The only thing I can think of with Portugal is like the egg tarts in Macau.
Yeah, well, that's traditionally Portuguese. They call that the pau genata, like, you know, kind of egg tart.
But thing. Like how that's become a thing in Macau as like because of the colonization.
Ah, I see. Yeah, I talked a little bit about this. There are trading markets in Makassar, and is still famous for trading what specific things?
In Makassar?
Yeah. There's a famous trading market within, you know, like a bustling street where you can see like the open markets and stuff. And this has been going on for decades and decades. And I won't say hundreds and hundreds of years, but I'm not sure. But
is it a food?
No. Most of it's, you know, goods and materials acquired from the island.
I don't know. What is it?
All right. No point for you. I think you're actually doing pretty good today, though. But
doing decent.
You got another beep. Joseph didn't get it. gold, silver, pearls, silk, and wood.
You did not talk about this.
Oh, yes, I did. Oh, yes, I did. I completely remember when I was like, hey, I don't want to talk about the Torijan people right now. I want to talk to you about Makassar and why it's important to go to Makassar. And I said,
those are like,
listen up. These are some things you're going to want to check out when you're in Makassar. And I said, very specifically, go to this market to see the old world trading that still exists today.
Did you say pearls also?
Yes, I did.
And wood?
Yes, and silk. Fine and Indonesian silk. Yes.
That's like the resources from a strategy game.
So what?
Give me some wood, please.
It's still.
I'll give you 500 silk for 300 gold.
Sure. Well, you weren't listening this time, so I'm going to say you're still in the winners' column. I think you're 3-2, so you only got two wrong so far. So
nice.
Yeah, but man.
Making my school teachers proud.
Yeah. Oh, what needs to be done before you're visiting the Togian Islands?
Make sure you figure out your the ferries, like book your ferries and accommodations in advance, or like let them know because there's no internet, so you can't like go on the fly. You have to book the ferry trip and stuff.
Stuck here all alone on an island with you.
Because then they're going to meet you at the ferry terminal. Yeah,
but you don't know where I'm at. They don't know where you're at, and that's how it goes. So yes,
this is more like what would you do on a desert island, but what would you do on a tropical island? Stranded on a tropical island.
Yeah. You want to make sure people are going to know when to come find you.
I would eat durian all day.
It's kind of stinky, this fruit. So mm-hmm. they say. So you got that one right?
I have a trivia question for you, actually.
All right.
This is about Indonesia in general, not Sulawesi in particular.
Did you talk about it today?
No.
Then you can't hold the not listening thing. At least I gave you the answers.
Okay. All right. So
my laptop's open. I can't cheat either.
What is the nickname for the capital city of Indonesia, Jakarta? What's the nickname for Jakarta?
Jackrabbit?
No.
Oh.
The Big Durian.
The Big Durian? Why is it called the Big Durian?
Well, you know, it's like the Big Apple, New York City.
Oh. But,
you know.
That's funny. All right. Well, I think you're doing pretty good today. Do we got any listener comments this week, Joseph?
We have a couple.
Okay. And today, by the way, you should feel very good about yourself. I think you came out with like 4 right and 2 wrong. So
I'm just basking and being right. You know, it gave me the confidence to ask you a question.
Well, I felt bad from last week because I was asking you all these technical geological terms about the Kentucky caves and stuff, and I just felt like, you know, I should make it a little easier, you know. Just we'll see how it goes, you know, in 2 weeks from now.
You should feel bad. You should feel bad.
Oh, I did.
Yeah. All right. So we have Emily from out of New Hampshire.
Okay.
She says, love listening to your show. Actually, this is kind of funny because we were talking about islands today. Can you recommend a fun island destination for my next vacation?
I haven't done very many. I've been to Puerto Rico, which is fun, but it's, you know, it's definitely got its American stamp imprint on it. Mm. Ooh, kind of. I guess she's thinking a 2-week holiday, a 1-week holiday.
Nothing specific. That was the question. Yeah. She didn't give me specifics.
Well, I'm going to tell you where I did have a very good time. There's a Mexican island called Isla Holbox.
Okay.
Which is kind of between the states of the Yucatan and the states of Quintana Roo. I think it's technically maybe in Quintana Roo. Mm-hmm. But from Cancun, you would go up from Isla Mujeres to the north coast up there. Mm-hmm. And then there's a ferry that takes you about an hour across to a little island called Isla Holbox. This is a very backpacker friendly, like kind of Soho little island, you know. It's pretty interesting and pretty unique. And you probably only need about 3 or 4 nights there, but it's very Mexican, but it's also very like got this sort of European like Mediterranean presence about it in a way, just because of all the types of people that came there and opened up restaurants and stuff, you know. So I really enjoyed that island for that aspect of it. Just the overall vibe of it was like, it didn't feel like, you know, like a foreign takeover entirely, but it also had enough of this kind of like exotic Europeanness about it as well. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was quite cool and stuff. So I really like that island. Cool. What do you got?
Yeah, for island destinations, haven't really done a ton of island destinations in my life. I mean, yeah, it really depends on what exactly you're looking for, but for the kind of tropical experience.
When I was younger, I went to Ibiza. But I would say Ibiza definitely is a party island within Spain and stuff. And, you know, so I don't think it's a relaxing destination. And in a way, it's a lot kind of stressful because everybody's coming there to party. However, there's a really cool chill out island that you can ferry to from Ibiza called Formentera.
Oh, cool.
And Formentera is probably the best beach I've ever been to in my life. I'm from like from my neck to my toes. It was just, you know, crystal clear. I could see the fish down there by my feet and stuff. Cool. And it was just phenomenal water, just unpolluted, untouched, and just phenomenally beautiful.
Well, I'm gonna be a little bit of a wild card and do a local option. I'm gonna recommend the San Juan Islands up in Washington.
Okay, I've still never been there.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a tropical island experience. It's gonna be more temperate climate. But they do get pretty good weather year round. They don't get the typical like Pacific Northwest rainy weather. They stay fairly sunny and beautiful in the summertime. You might see some orca whales on your ferry ride to the island.
Right.
But I think that's a great place to hang out for, you know, for spend a week in the summer. And if you're feeling more adventurous, then you could hop on another ferry and go to Vancouver Island in Canada, and that's a little bit of a bigger island, and just explore sort of that Puget Sound. So that's what I'd recommend.
Well, we're just about out of time. Do you got one more question?
If we have time for one more question.
Maybe if it's
unfortunately.
Short.
Unfortunately.
Okay.
No, this one.
Rapid fire.
We nothing, have one.
No rapid fire response.
All right, you just got to name one place. You can't go into detail about it. Paul G. out of Manchester, England says, I'm going to Spain for holiday. Can you recommend some good cities for food?
Yeah, just Madrid. I mean, it's tapas hopping everywhere, you know, at the best prices and some of the most unique things. If not, and you want to try something really unique, go to the Basque Country and go to San Sebastian. That's it.
Cool. All right. Yeah, that's it. No more detail. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. This is KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. You're listening to Life Stamp, stories from here and there. If you did not get the chance to listen to this entire episode, you can always check our Spotify Life Stamps on Sunday. This episode will be coming out. And until next time, happy travels.
Happy traveling. And yeah, for future listeners, you want the chance for us to, you know, answer some questions for you on air on Spotify. There is the comments box. So fill it out and we'll answer your questions if we can fit it in our show or the next show or the next show.
Or the next show.
Anyways, over and out. Take us away, Harvey.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Life Stamps, stories from here and there on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. Join us in 2 weeks for our next episode. Until next time, happy traveling.
tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communication